I wanted to start with a 2-minute testimony that we wrote in the disciples class. Just reading that, and then I wanted to branch off that just a little. Back in October of 1987, I realized that I had made a terrible mess of my life on my own. A big tangled mess, and I saw no purpose to life, even though I had 2 children at this point. God helped me realize this. I began going to a church, and I'd cry and cry as the preacher taught. One Sunday afternoon at home, 2 or 3 Sundays into October, I talked and cried out to God as I was sowing something. And I made a big, big mess of my life, and I give you my whole life, Lord, if you will take it up from here. To the best of my knowledge, that's about how the prayer went. At that moment, I was truly forgiven from all my sin, and I knew it. I was new on the inside. I was happy. I was walking on air. Everything was new, and God gave me such a thankful heart. The Bible came alive to me that I had learned as a little girl. I didn't want to sin anymore. Before that time, I loved to flaunt my sin, and God set me free. Because I didn't know how to tell anyone what had happened to me, God gave me this song that I learned as a girl, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I didn't know what had happened to me. All I knew is that I gave him my whole life. At some point, I realized, and my father realized, that I was very, very rebellious. Had a very rebellious spirit, which led to being very self-centered. I did whatever I wanted to do if I could get away with it. I thought if my parents didn't see me, it was okay. I don't want to jump around too much. I want it to kind of flow, but anyway, so with that mindset and that attitude, I made lots and lots of messes. And I did anything I wanted, which was wrong. It was sin against God. And I knew it to some degree because at 4 years old, I told my father, I asked Jesus in my heart. My father was a CEF minister, lived by faith, and he taught Bible clubs. And I knew the Word of God, but I thought if I could get out of his sight, I could do whatever. And the more I grew up, I didn't grow up at all. I just grew more self-centered. And God started working on me. About the time I had Jessica, he started working on me. He would really speak something to me, and I would think, what was that? One day, when Jessica was about 3 years old, she had just had her 3rd birthday, I learned that there was a lady that lived a block behind us on the corner. I went, and she had a 3-year-old daughter. And she had homeschooled some children. And I was just starting with my family. She was just homeschooling her last child. Anyway, I got real brave. I went and I knocked on her door and I said, we both have 3-year-olds and could our little girls play together? And she looked at me. I said, I live right over there. I'm Donna Hazemark. She said, you're who? And I said, Donna Hazemark. She said, well, come in. She took it very well. And she had to tell me, we got together a week later. She told me this story, y'all. This is God. She told me the story. She said, you know, in there, it was no denying I was a new Christian. And she said, I just want to tell you something. She said, I go to the little church that your parents go to. And on Wednesday nights, when it's prayer night, your parents said sometime back, you know, when it's, what do you want us to pray for? You know, what are some prayer needs? They said, please pray for our daughter, Donna. She's very rebellious. And you know what? That lady sat there in her den and told me that she prays every Monday for me. And I just showed up at her front door, y'all. I just showed up at her front door. I'm Donna Hazemark. That's just God. That is just God. She said she didn't do anything on Mondays but pray. She didn't do any housework. She didn't do any cooking. She didn't do any school. She just prayed. Recently, I was talking to a lady on the phone, and I told her something. We were talking about handwriting and, you know, children's handwriting and adults' handwriting. And I said, it brought back this memory of when I was growing up, I wanted my A's to be shaped like that old-fashioned A. My mother said, no, Donna, write your A's the way they showed you in school, the A for today, you know. And I said, okay, but I didn't. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But you know, when I was saved, to make a long story short, I changed all that, y'all. I mean, even down to that, I wanted to do everything right from then on. Do you understand? I didn't want to do anything wrong from then on. My A's changed. I changed them. But anyway, early on when I was a new Christian, God spoke this to me, and so I wrote it down to be able to tell y'all accurately. God said to me, I am not in a power struggle, and you will never come out from under my authority. God said that to me. That's the longest sentence, I think. One of the longest sentences He ever spoke to me, long. And it was just another light went off, you know. Wow. All that stuff I never got away with that I thought I got away with. You know, I had to share that with you. And I gave God my life. It was an exchange. And He gave me His life. That's real, y'all. That's real. And He slowly started taking me out from being very extremely selfish and self-centered to where I'm outside of that, y'all. I guess it was passed in my family line, but not many people were as bad as I was. So, you know, you get outside and you learn to love others. And it took a long time for the Lord to show me that. You know, it was real bad, real bad. Even if I bought Robert a gift, I bought something I wanted. It, you know, was real bad. So the Lord started showing me how to do that. You know, that was just a big thing, a big area I needed deliverance in. And one of the major things He showed me from the very beginning was to spend time with Him. And I recently wrote down for one of my children why I read the Bible daily, so they could put it in a Bible. In it are words of life. It directs my life. It honors and pleases God to read His Word daily. This is how I spend time with God. It's always true and eternal. And He speaks to me through His Word. About the time I was saved, I was going to church in the mornings, and Robert was not. And I would dress the two little girls up, Jessica and April, and we'd go, and they'd go in the nursery, and I'd go and I'd sit and I would listen. You know, like I said, two or three Sundays into October of 87, it was time for me to be born into God's kingdom. And then, right after that, it was like He just gave me the ability to see things from His point of view. And to the point that I laid my life down, I was delivered of so much stuff, y'all. So much. And because I laid it down completely. Just completely. So I began praying, Lord, would You save Robert so we could serve You together? Would You save Robert? And one day, sitting in a rocking chair, him in a little dress for April, 6-8 month size dress, 9 month dress, I think it was. And I'm him in this little dress, and something happens in the spirit realm in that bedroom I'm sitting in. It seems a lot of things spiritually happen to me when I'm sewing. But anyway, so something happened in the spirit realm. I want to tell y'all, it was really powerful for a month. I didn't say a word to Robert that I had not prayed over. Not a word, day or night, wasn't prayed over. because I knew something had happened, and it was like he wasn't saved yet, but he was. You understand? It was just like maybe a matter of time. I don't know any of that. I didn't know any of that. I'm just saying I knew one day something had happened, and there was a release, and anyway, and so, and I remember leading up one day, I felt distinctly like I needed to ask him. Otherwise, I did not need to say anything. And I asked him, and he looked at me very strangely. I said, "Do you want to pray?" And however I worded it, he was headed off to work, but I felt distinctly like it was time. And he said, he just looked at me very strangely, "No." And I was taken aback. Okay, and so not another word about it. And I don't know how much more time went by, another week or two. But anyway, so that's just where I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, the rest of the story. I was trying to figure out how to do this from present day and go backwards, but I can't tell you how I got here if you don't know where I've been. So, I grew up in a moral home, but not a Christian home, not a church-going home. And that was, later on, was really quite a benefit. And so I wasn't the worst guy in the world. At least that was my thinking. And was getting by. You know, I could do it. I could handle it. And I was working two jobs at the time. Where Donna was talking about where she started going to Calvary Baptist, and she asked me to start going on Sunday nights. They had a Bible study. It's called Through the Bible in a Year, and they were somewhere in Minor Prophets or Luther, Esther, one of these books that's, you know, it's tough to get an evangelical message out of, but it's still the Word of God, and it was history, and I like history, and I went several times, and through the other things that was going on with Donna, and through the teaching, I realized that God had a plan. And I was not in that plan. And so we continued to go. What Donna didn't tell you was she was also going to a ladies' Bible study. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "A fervent prayer of a bunch of women makes things happen." And so they were praying. And I found out later there was other people praying for me. And so one Sunday evening after church, she just asked if I wanted to accept Christ. And so we just prayed together there at home. And I accepted Jesus, and he accepted me. And Calvary was big. It was about 800 members at that time. I think it's 3,000 now. So it was a big church. And they had, on Sunday nights, just almost any kind of discipleship study you could imagine, and we just dove in into the Word of God, and we studied, and just became real disciples of Christ and of the Word. And I got some foundation, and we taught Sunday school, and we taught fifth grader Sunday school, and I was driving from Beaumont to Houston one day, and I had a little black Ford Ranger pickup truck with a red interior, coldest air conditioner of any vehicle I've ever had. It actually spit ice out of the vents, and I was driving to Houston. I think I was doing about 75, and this is when it was a 55, and I was born again, but I wasn't totally obedient yet. And I'm driving to Houston, and God spoke to me, and he said, "Go to Calvary Chapel." Now, people debate whether God speaks to you audibly or to your spirit, but now I'm going 75 down the interstate, and God spoke to me, and I looked over in the seat beside me, right? And there was nothing there but those little ice chips. And so I knew that I knew it was God, okay? The thing I didn't know was, I didn't know where Calvary Chapel was. And so I said, okay, I can go. But I didn't know where it was. Turns out it was a inner city mission church of that Calvary supported. And it was really about four blocks from our house. And I'd been by it a lot, but I wasn't paying any attention to what it was. And so we, as tradition in Baptist church, we went down the aisle one evening and said, we're going to go work at the mission church. And we did. And it was a great life experience. So much to learn about God and about people. And I couldn't have done it without Christ, of course, but there was a verse. I don't know if you can put Colossians 1:22 up. This is a verse that's just helped me a lot. It says, He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Now, to put that in my translation, God's totally accepted me, right? There's nothing between me and Him. He accepts me every day, no matter what I do, good or bad. And to me, that's the most awesome verse, to know that I have been reconciled to Him completely and totally. And I think about, I grew up in Beaumont. Beaumont's a big city, lots of lights, surrounded by refineries. You go outside at night and you might see six stars. We move here to the country, I go outside and there's thousands of stars. And I look up and I think, the God that created all that and He keeps all that from bumping into each other, He knows me. That's an awesome thought. He knows me. And so at Calvary Chapel we worked, and like I say, it was an inner city mission. Drug abuse, messed up families, just the whole gamut. It was, even though we were only a few blocks away, it was just a whole different experience for us. And I wanted to share some stories from that. And if I get into I, me, and myself, just understand it. It's all Jesus. And, November of 1987, my identity was stolen, and I have no desire to go back and find it. So, it's all Christ. We worked there for about 2 years, just helping out. And the pastor resigned, and they asked me to pastor, and that was a real experience. I had told Donna right before that happened that I wanted to be more than just a Christian on paper. I didn't know what that meant, but that's how I phrased it. And so we started on a whole new learning experience, and we worked there, and I began to learn more depth about God and what He was capable of doing. We had a young lady that was going to do our little Christmas program with the children. And she was going to read the Bible, the Christmas story out of the Bible, and narrate the little play. And, that on the grand scheme of things is not a real big deal. I'm about maybe six little kids and this young lady that was going to do it. The night before they were going to do it, they were trying to do their rehearsal. And the inside of her mouth and her tongue just had all these sores, and she couldn't even speak. I mean, so it's like, I'm not going to be able to do this the next morning. And I didn't know what to do. Bible said, gather, anoint them with the oil, and pray. I could do that. So we did. We got her, we anointed her, we prayed. she turned to leave, and before she got out the door, her mouth was healed. And all that God really wants from us is, you know, just a little bit of faith. I mean, just read His Word, take Him at His Word, read it, believe it, apply it. And so we learn. It did get back to the Calvary that was a sponsoring church, and that's Baptist Church, and that we were having healing services. But it was okay. And I said I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't know much about, you know, being Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or any of that kind of stuff. It just didn't apply. So I didn't know there were things you weren't supposed to do. And I had seen Benny Hinn on TV. And Benny Hinn was going to be in Houston. And so I said, hey, anybody want to go to Benny Hinn Healing Crusade? And got the church van from the big, from Calvary Baptist, and we loaded up and we went to Houston. And we didn't get in. It was full, but it was a wonderful time. You know, a lot of folks outside was praying and worshiping God and praying for each other. And when we got back, I got a visit because I didn't think about this, but there was Calvary's van, Calvary Baptist Church of Beaumont, sitting there with the Assembly of God vans and the Pentecostal vans and the Full Gospel vans, and somehow they heard. It wasn't too bad, but I was told that God didn't work in those kind of ways and things, but which I didn't understand. Later, Don and I actually did get into Benny Hinn Crusade, and if you got 6,000 people praising and worshiping God, and, you know, blind people are seeing, and deaf people are hearing, and, you know, then they give an invitation, and 200 people go down and accept Jesus. I don't know if God's working there or not, but I know the devil's not, so he's not getting his way there. So we did that. But we got the chance to minister to a lot of people. We would go door to door. Again, this is all Jesus. And another verse that I really liked was in 1 John, I think it's 5:13, where it says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you will know that you have eternal life. So important that we know. And we would go and knock on doors in the neighborhood and ask people, hey, if you die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven? Well, I'd hope so. And that got to be the saddest thing that I could hear somebody say, well, I hope so. Because that means they don't know. And if they don't know, they ain't going. And we had a lot of success in that. In the 4 years that I pastored, we baptized over 40 people. Again, that's all God. It wasn't all me leading people. You know, the congregation was great. Those that truly knew that, you know, God had done something for them, they would tell others. And I want to share one last thing about Calvary Chapel. The last person that we baptized was I think she was 32 years old. She had 3 children. She was single, and she had AIDS. And she had contracted AIDS from an unfaithful husband. And she came one evening and just said, I need to know. Right? And so being able to share that verse with her and then, you know, letting her, you know, celebrate that by baptism was one of the last things that we got to do. And her life kind of summed up, you know, that whole ministry, because sin kills. You know, and it wasn't so much her sin, but it still kills. And, you know, even as Christians, it'll kill our relationship with God. You know, if we get into sin, we move away from Him. You know, people get into things and they don't realize that it's a danger. It kills. But we got to baptize her. Calvary Chapel was built up on piers, and we had a baptistry built into the floor. But the outside of the baptistry was basically just outside. This was in January, and we went to get ready to baptize her, and the baptistry heater did not work. I spent the whole afternoon boiling water on the stove, carrying over there, pouring it in, trying to warm it up. I think we got it up to like 50 degrees. It was just cool. But she loved it because, you know, truly one of her last memories was that she got baptized and was at peace with God. And that kind of summed up, you know, that whole ministry. 1998, I resigned in 95 or so. It was just time. 98, my dad passed away here in Louisiana. And really had nothing keeping me there in Beaumont. And God told me to move my family here and take care of my mom. And basically, she's been taking care of us. But so we came, and we have visited different congregations. We even had folks meet in our home for a while. But the Lord led me here, and what I have appreciated about Christian Challenge is the message of grace. Without anything else added to that, because there's so many congregations, so many groups that they have a message of grace, but it seems like there's always a little bit that's tacked on to that, you know. There's always the push to do this, the push to do that, and, you know, it's a real subtle deal, but I guess I love the grace of God so much it stands out to me. I don't understand the grace of God, but I sure appreciate it. And so that's where I've been, and this is where I'm at.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that, brother. Aren't y'all glad y'all came tonight? Getting to know Brother Robert and Sister Donna a little better. Don, I'm going to tell you a compliment your husband gave you one day that you don't know about yet, but you're fixing to find out. One of the, I think it was a Sunday afternoon. It may have been a Saturday, but I think it was a Sunday afternoon after a Board of Counselors meeting, and we were outside visiting. I think we'd walked around and looked at a light out back, and Robert said he could replace it. And I don't know if Robert remembers this or not, but we were leaning on the back of that white GMC pickup truck or whatever that white pickup truck is you got and kind of talking. And I just said to him, I said, Robert, I want you to know how much I admire you and your family and, you know, the dedication that you guys have to teaching your children the things of the Lord and directing them in His ways and the choices you've made. And, you know, I just really admire your family. And he said, that's all, Donna. That's not me. That's all, Donna. And I thought, well, what a great guy to be able to, you know, somebody gives a compliment and he says, that's my wife. You know, the scripture talks about some of the great gifts we can receive, but the best gift we can receive is a godly wife. And so I know you're blessed, Robert and Donna, to share that just kind of humorously. When I first met Robert, you know, can I say that you're an acquired taste? Is that okay? You got to learn him because he's kind of quiet and he seems stoic and, you know, but then you get to know him and look at his kids. They're all like, yeah, right. But I mean, what a sense of humor he's got. And I don't know if it was the name change as a child that did that or what, but what a great couple. And we've been blessed to be in their home a few times and just what a home of love. I love this, hearing your testimonies. It thrills my heart, my wife last week, to be so transparent and to share her heart. And next week, Gail Faulkner is going to share. And did you remember? Good. And, and yeah, just to hear the different ones, Warren and Lori. Wait a minute. I haven't heard from you guys. There you are. Y'all coming up in July. And Brother Tiny and Sister Rita. You know, and some of the stories, some of us know and some of us don't. But to get to hear them and just kind of take it in and be blessed by it. That's good. We still have a few slots left. And so come on down. Now, I noticed Chris Ferrier had to change from July 4th was the night she had selected, but she had to put herself on a different date. So July 4th is available, and that's the night that John Martinez, David Stellwagen is sharing that night. The three Wednesdays in July, the first three Wednesdays, David's sharing the first, John is sharing to the 4th, plus 7 is the 11th, and then plus 7, the 18th is Lane Fletcher. So those nights, but the 4th is still available for a testimony. Of course, it's the 4th of July, so I do know that y'all having a big bonfire that night, I'm not sure why you want a bonfire in July in Louisiana, but they're going to have that, and y'all probably can do some fireworks and some fun stuff like that that evening. I am not going to... Yes, sir. Yes, go ahead, brother. Oh, we're going to have fireworks for Tiny because that's his birthday. That's right. That's good. That is excellent. Thank you guys for sharing again. I want to do something a little different, if I can. I just want to lead you through a Bible study that I would like you to teach. And if we can get a couple of these microphones, this one, how many more mics do we have up here? There we go. Bud, can you keep track? We got four microphones. All right, John, David, Tiny, and David. Here's what you're going to do. You'll have to turn each one on. And when y'all go to speak, if you'll kind of hold it up and let Bud see the color, it will help him know, you know, which one to turn up. I want to talk to you just for a couple of minutes and then get you to share with us, get you to teach tonight, and about God's rainbows. And I want to preface it with a story that I read. The story goes like this, that this dad was flying in Texas with his young daughter, and they were flying. It was one of those little commuter flights. It wasn't a huge flight, but a little commuter flight. And as they were flying, the weather was bad, and the pilot came on and said, "Folks, we're going to try to increase our altitude to see if we can get above this storm." And so they got through all the turbulence, and they rose up above the storm, and they burst through those dark clouds. And when they did, they could see the brilliant sunshine. It was absolutely gorgeous. And as they looked around out the windows, they got these down below those dark clouds, and they could even see the lightning in the clouds. But there was the sunshine above. It was just magnificent. And the people below obviously couldn't see the sunshine. All they had was the rain and the darkness and the lightning. But they were seeing this. And then in that huge cloud appeared an incredible rainbow that they could see in that cloud. And it was a very unique kind of rainbow that we don't get to see very often. It was actually a halo, a complete from horizon to horizon all the way around the plane. There was a halo. Usually we see a rainbow more like this. Now, sometimes if you're out washing the car and you have the spray going out, you may see a rainbow in that spray. Well, they look on both sides of the plane. There was just this big rainbow. And the little girl exclaimed, "Daddy, Daddy, look. Look at the beautiful rainbow. And we're getting to see it from God's point of view." Well, in that moment, you know, the guy that's telling the story says that everybody on that plane heard, because it was just a small plane, a little commuter plane, and everybody heard her say that we're seeing it from the same side God sees it on, is the way she said it. We're seeing it from the same side God sees it on. And that little statement went through that plane, and it helped people understand that, you know, down below you may have storms, you may have lightning, you may have some darkness, but from God's point of view, He sees rainbows, and He knows what He's doing in our lives. Now, meteorologists will tell you that every cloud has a rainbow. Every series of droplets has a rainbow. I think there are storm clouds in our lives that if we can understand how to see them, we can begin to see God's promise. I want to read Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse number 12. And then I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to give you a verse, and you're going to preach on it. We'll see. Genesis 9, verse number 12. This is after Noah comes off the ark, and it says, "God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh.'" Pay attention to verse 16. "When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth." And it's interesting that he says, whenever the bow is in the cloud, then I will look on it to remember the covenant. And so I want to give you a premise that the storm clouds in our lives are God placing rainbows. to remind, to remember, to call to mind, to be active on our behalf. That's what remembering is. It's not just, oh, I forgot, now I remember, but it's to actually intervene and to act. And you can't have a rainbow without water, without some mist or water droplets or something. So clouds are the best places for rainbows. And so I want to share three kinds of clouds and the rainbows that we see in them, and you're going to preach it, okay? And we're going to do this in just a couple of minutes. The first one is this. In the cloud of adversity is divine purpose. In the cloud of adversity, hard times, difficulties, is divine purpose. Now, who's going to preach our first point? All right, John, since you've got a microphone, you're going to preach the first point. Isn't that great? All right, so stand up, John. Somebody, John, he's going to need a Bible. Faith, you can give him this. Give him Romans 8:28. Read this and tell us how in the cloud of adversity is God's divine purpose.
You see, I've been planning for next month. My sermon is next month.
Well, this is just like a little warm up. Yeah.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
So is the cloud of adversity actually the rainbow of God's divine purpose?
Yes.
Yes. All right. And now, to use terminology that sound men use and signals that they use, stretch it out.
Well, I have an example.
All right.
And I actually just went over this with the youth group on Sunday, and me and Jessica have talked about it a couple of times. I thought I was going through the worst time in my life, love life-wise. And this was a while before Jessica. There was a girl in whom I thought I was madly in love with her. And it just wasn't happening. Everything I tried just wasn't happening. And I really did think I had hit rock bottom. And apparently, if that's what I thought rock bottom was, I hadn't hit it yet. But I really, to me, this was a really trying time because I really, for whatever reason, I really wanted to be with this girl. And when God said no, I've got poems upon poems upon pages of journals, upon online pages of stuff that I wrote of this difficult storm I was going through because it was really depressing to me. I was hurt. I was heartbroken. And on one of those pages of the journal that I started because of that, I got a note from a computer user named PeanutBrittle7. PeanutBrittle7 later changed her name to Blindside Chick. Blindside Chick later gave me her email, and I found out her real name was Jessica. And had I not gone through what I went through, I would not appreciate as much the rainbow that God gave me.
Wow. Now that's just awesome. So Blindside Chick is your rainbow of divine purpose in the cloud of adversity. That's excellent. Okay. Who's next? I got another verse for somebody who's next. Tiny, since you got a microphone. No, you can't get rid of it. I'll tell you what, hot potato, you take it to the next person that's going to share. All right, Tiny. We want Tiny to have John 16:33, Faith. Brother Tiny, read John 16:33 and then tell us how the cloud of diversity is the rainbow of divine purpose.
These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
Do you see purpose in hard times, in tribulation?
You know, it kind of states our daily walk here. And during the time that was away from the Lord, we walked through some pretty hard things. And even since we've come to the Lord, we've had some times of trials and stuff like that. But as you look back, if it was not for these trials, how could you share with others and help others? And the even though these look pretty hard, pretty downcoming, the rainbow is that you can see it from God's view, and then you can help others.
Amen. Daddy, Daddy, look, it's a rainbow, and we're seeing it from the same side God sees it. Thank you, Brother Tiny. Divine purpose. Okay, who's got the next microphone? David? Which David? David in the white shirt? James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In the cloud of adversity is the rainbow of divine purpose. James 1, verses 2 and 3. Stop on the word patience in verse 3.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance.
All right, there you go. Do you see divine purpose in the storm of adversity, brother?
Most definitely. I just have to think how to talk about it. while I think about it, I did think about something earlier that I'll go ahead and share that I might think of something during that. But the rainbow, you know, there's that old thing about the Irish came up with it or whatever, that there's a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow and blah 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 and all that stuff. And I was just thinking about that. And it seems like all myths, fables, whatever you want to call them, always have some grain of truth in there, you know, some way, somehow, from where they got started in. And the thought that I had about that is, it's really a rainbow, like you said, is a circle, and we just don't usually see just part of it because the horizon blocks it or whatever. And so from a human aspect, there's a beginning and the end to the rainbow. And of course, the myth about the, you know, the pot of gold and what, or good fortune, or however you want to put it, something good there at the end of the rainbow. Well, from God's side of it, there is no beginning or end, and the blessing flows all the way around. We just have to learn to accept the Lord in His ways to get into that loop of blessing that never ends forever and ever. You know, receiving His love and you know, all the things that go along with that. So there's not just the beginning and the end. It's a forever, forever thing with the Lord.
Good. And so there is a purpose to it, right? There's a purpose to your adversity.
Yeah, let me look at it again.
Brother Tiny, while he's looking, find somebody to give that microphone to. I think my wife's calling for it. He said no.
A lot of times, or a lot of the things that we go through, a lot of times we are, I don't know, I feel like, you know, I just can't make it through this. I just can't take it anymore. This is the hardest it's ever been. You know, this is the worst it's ever been. I just can't do this anymore. I've had enough. I can't take it. You know, Lord, I just don't feel like I'm getting the strength and power that your word talks about, which we know is true, but it's like, you know, at the time in adversity, you just don't always feel like it's happening. But the Lord never fails, and we make it through there, and through coming to the end of our rope and thinking we can't make it anymore, we learn to receive and trust in His endurance, the faith that He gives us, and little by little, through trial after trial, that faith and endurance that He has slowly seeps into us and becomes part of who we are, just the way His love and patience and grace over time slowly seeps into us, and we become more and more like Him.
All right. That's good. Enduring purpose, God's divine purpose. Endurance. Good. All right. The rest of y'all are going to preach shorter than these guys did, because we're supposed to be through by now. So who's he going to pick next? All right, let's go to our next point. Point number one was that in the cloud of adversity is the rainbow of divine purpose. All right, we talked about God causing things to work together for His purpose. We talked about in the tribulation He works peace. We talked about how He brings endurance. All right, now, our next kind of cloud that we encounter is the cloud of death. And in the cloud of death is the rainbow of His presence. The rainbow of His presence. And David Stellwagen, you're next in line, so I want you to read Psalms 23:4. And while she's pulling up Psalms 23:4, the scripture says every one of you has an appointment. It is appointed to each one of us an appointment called death. Every one of us has that. But in that cloud of death, there is a rainbow called His presence. David, read that to us.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mm-hmm. Speaks for itself. Can I jump back to that other one? That
oh, my
last
goodness.
Verse? Just one
short.
I thought of an allegory.
I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. Wrap it up. No.
No. This, just to go back and then I'll come back to this. When a person's training for a sport, the training that they do is usually harder than the sport that they're doing. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. You know, like for football, they may do all kinds of weight training and running stuff that they usually don't run and all kinds of, you know, I mean, it's hard and it hurts and it you just feel like you can't make it anymore, you know, but they got to do that so that they'll have the endurance in a game, you know, whether it's in football or whether it's running track or, long distance running. These people will run miles and miles every day, you know, so that when they run the race, they'll have the endurance to run it. And our faith is the same way, you know, and God knows that we have it in us, you know, it's pure. And when He tests our faith, it's not do you really have it or not. He's practicing our faith. He's causing us to increase the strength of our faith. Anyway, let me go on from there. And when we go through hard times and difficult times
you face death.
You say death, you know, shadow of death. People who faced cancer here, there's several people in our congregation that have already, you know, faced death and cancer. And I remember one time I was not diagnosed with cancer, but they thought I had cancer of somewhere inside my chest area. And didn't sound like a good place anyway. You know, they wanted to kind of further do tests and I went and had this CAT scan done, and the doctor looked at me as I was leaving. You know, they didn't give me the results then, but he was like, take care. You know, I mean, he just gave me this, it was just like, oh no, that doesn't sound good at all, you know. And I went home, I think it was just after that. Anyway, I was praying and I didn't really feel good about that, you know. And I was like, well, what's going to happen with my family and all that? And the Lord gave me Psalms 23. I was just praying and He spoke that to me, and the Lord gave me a message out of it. But, you know, when you face death and you're facing hard times and all that, difficulties like that, the Lord's presence just comes even more clear, you know, and all of a sudden you have this peace, knowing that everything's all right because He's your shepherd. He's there, you know. And
what is the rainbow?
The rainbow is that you know He's there.
He is.
He's right there with you.
Amen.
And He's taking care of you, and He comforts you, knowing that you're in His hands, you know.
Okay. Excellent. Who had our first microphone? Where did it go? Warren? All right, I had five verses for this next one, but I'm just going to give you one, okay? Faith, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. And she'll put it up for you to see. There it is, right there.
Read it.
Loud and proud.
But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Go ahead and read 55 and 56, 55, Faith.
O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
And I really had planned to read 54 through 57, but I'm trying to compress my part too. So Warren, is there a rainbow of God's presence in the cloud of death?
Yes.
Very good. All right, next one. No, I'm kidding. Well said, brother. Well said.
Yes.
Have you seen that? Have you? I mean, you hadn't died. I know. But you died to self, like Robert says. Somebody stole your identity. But yeah, you've had people in your family die. Lori's grandmother passing away, and different ones. And you've been around different ones. Have you seen his presence? Have you seen the rainbow of God's presence?
Yes, very much. I know when Lori's grandmother passed, I had never noticed this before. And we were, you know, naturally we were sitting around. You had came by. You were there playing the guitar. And you know, a lot of emotions, there was some religious activity going on that I guess was testing me, because I was kind of uncomfortable with some of it. But what the great thing that I saw that day was how peaceful the room ended up getting, how peaceful she looked. The sad thing was I saw the life, I saw it leave her. It's almost hard to explain. You see a body that looks, and I'll just go ahead and say it. Evidently, life in a person's body takes up space. You know, it's kind of like the old experiment in school when they showed us, you know, they asked the question, does air take up space? I'm thinking, no, or does it have weight or whatever? And, well, they air up a balloon, set a book on it, would have held the book up. Well, when you see this lady that I've, you know, became to know real well, loved a lot, and she had shared her love with me, and you see, you know, her body features kind of shrunk. And the Lord just, you know, kind of ministered to my heart in all that, you know, that the life had left her. So evidently she belongs to the Lord. The real life, true life is now with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard for me to really understand all of that. I think about when, because I was just reading the other day with Lazarus, and Jesus just kind of, you know, told everybody, just, you know, come chill out. He's asleep. And, you know, constantly through our Bibles, you know, they talk about how we're asleep. You know, we sleep, and then in the resurrection, you know, it talks about what's going to take place. And, but, you know, going through all of this, you know, with what everybody has said, the verse that just keeps going over and over and over in my mind, and that's a neat thing what the Lord does. We all got our favorite verses or whatever, is Isaiah 9:6. I just can't get away from that verse anytime, that, you know, a child is going to be born. Well, the child had, the same one was before Abraham, but a child was going to be born, the sacrificial lamb, the government, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Brother Buddy shared this a long time ago, made more sense to me than anything I heard. The government of peace. Mm-hmm. Why in the world can you fall flat on your back, be diagnosed with cancer, be in bankruptcy, be your home is divided, you just buried a loved one, or whatever it is, but for some reason he meets us where we're at, in the great governor of peace he is, will just take over that whole situation and calm that storm. And
so it is his presence.
Yes.
His presence is the rainbow. Lori, did you experience his presence in the passing of your grandmother? I didn't pick who was going to read these things, but that's good. Thank you, brother. In the cloud of adversity is the rainbow of purpose, divine purpose. God is at work. He has a plan. And the cloud of death is the rainbow of his presence. I just have a couple more. Who has the next scripture? Brother Ed, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And in the cloud of judgment is the rainbow of grace and mercy. And here's the thing we have to understand. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is as certain as death, so is the judgment that follows it. It is coming. But the judgment holds no fear for the child of God because of something that happened to his sins. Brother Ed, read to us 1 Peter 2:24 that tells us what happened to our sins. Gray Mike.
And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. for by his wounds you were healed.
Okay, amen. So what happened to our sins, brother?
He took our sins to the cross.
How many of our sins?
Every last one of
them. Was it just the sins that had happened before he died?
Present, future, past, present, future sins.
Was it just the sins that happened up until the time you asked Jesus to come into your heart?
No, all the sins. Every sin.
Amen.
That I will commit and have committed.
So the rainbow, even in the judgment,
even in
is
judgment.
Mercy and grace. You said that word grace with a robber poured out.
That's right.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
No, no.
Very well. Good job. All right. Who's got the next mic in order? Okay, Brother Hazemark. Romans 8, 1 and 2. In the cloud of judgment is the rainbow of God's mercy and grace. Romans 8, 1 and 2. In the cloud of judgment, we all have to face it. Verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. This is good. I got to give my 2-minute testimony, and now I get to preach.
That's the only thing lacking right now is taking up an offering. That's right. All right, you got 10 seconds.
We're looking for the presence of God.
Well, you're looking for the rainbow of God's mercy and grace.
Rainbow of God's mercy.
In judgment.
Well, earlier the scripture from Colossians, it says we're totally, completely accepted. There's no condemnation. After accepting Christ Jesus, I can't go anywhere except to be with him because he's with me. And we are set free from the old law, the old judgment, the old life, the old nature. When I accepted him, I died on the cross with him.
That's it.
And there's mercy and grace.
I love the way you said that a while ago, that somebody stole your identity and you don't want it back. Amen. Okay, guys. So, rainbows. Sometimes clouds have to come so that the rainbows can be seen. And the rainbows we've talked about tonight in the cloud, the first cloud that we talked about of adversity is the rainbow of his divine promise. When we talk about the cloud of death, we have the rainbow of his promise. When we talk about the cloud of judgment, we have the rainbow of grace and mercy. So remember the rainbows. Today we had a big storm. Electricity went off here. Was there anybody here? Electricity went off? A few folks were here. Did it startle you? No? It was kind of, it startled me where I was at, but it was, you know, big storm. Is God going to change his mind and maybe go ahead and wipe us out? Mm-mm. Because every storm has a rainbow. Every storm has a rainbow. I love what the little girl said. It's a rainbow, and we're seeing it from the same side that God sees it. Our prayer should be, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, like we sang at the beginning. Help me to see it from your side. Help me to see the storm from your side so I can see the rainbow. You guys did a pretty good job of preaching this sermon tonight. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the word, and thank you for the sharing that each one did. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, tonight I just want to submit to you the needs that I know are in the hearts of the different ones. Lord, that as we pray, and I know we've come here probably thinking of some different people who have needs in their lives, we just lift those names to you right now. Would you just, if you had somebody on your heart, would you whisper it to him, let him hear that prayer? Father, just hear these whispered names, these whispered situations, the prayers for protection, the prayers for healing, the prayers for salvation. Lord, how we long for the ones that we love to know you as you know us and we know you. Father, we pray for their salvation. We pray for provision. Lord, we lift these names to you in the precious name of Jesus, trusting that you will answer, you will intervene. Father, there are those who have medical procedures in front of them. We trust you with those things, Lord. Those who need your healing physical touch, just as you healed that little girl with those sores in her mouth, Lord, would you heal for the glory of your name and for the purpose of bringing honor to yourself, bring healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.